This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. So, who remembers what we talked about? Oh, let's continue. I'm so sorry. Yes, sir. He was like waiting. He's like, yes, sir. Kevin, pleasure to meet you. Okay, so where are you from?
I grew up in Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. What brought you to Dallas? How long have you been in Dallas?
This is my third year in Dallas.
Okay, nice, nice. You liking it here?
Yeah, I like Dallas. It's big. I miss, I lived in Georgia before this. Lots of trees, very green.
Yeah.
I feel like in a concrete jungle sometimes here.
Yeah.
MashaAllah,
MashaAllah. So when did you decide to embrace Islam?
I took the Shahada 3 months ago. So that's very recent, but about a year ago is kind of when I really started to learn more and kind of seriously consider and kind of prepare myself. And
okay. What's one word you would describe that experience? Rewarding.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, kind of along the way, like, as I've learned things, it's been challenging and, like, a lot to learn, but I feel like it's also kind of helped me see things in new ways and kind of put my life in new ways, too. So I'm like, very thankful for it.
MashaAllah, that's good. Great. Pleasure to have you here. Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Cayenne?
Cayenne.
Okay. Where are you from, Cayenne?
I'm originally from Chicago area.
Chicago.
Yeah, but Champaign, Illinois. No one really knows where that is, but Chicago.
Champaign, Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm acting like I know. I'm just saying it again. Like, that's how you know. You're like, oh, Champaign, Illinois? Okay, okay. Yeah. Zakla, okay, yeah. Okay, so when did you decide to convert to Islam? October 20, huh? Okay, okay.
I have been considering it for a couple of years now.
Couple of years?
Yes.
Wow.
I was trying to go ahead and pick some, and it's, well, I just really felt like it was time.
Really? More in depth in regards to the relationship, like which aspect? With God. Okay, okay. So it wasn't difficult to actually make that transition or to, it wasn't. Okay, great. Your name again was?
Cayenne.
Okay, Cayenne. Pleasure.
I'm Alyssa.
Alyssa was here last week. Yes, welcome again, Alyssa. Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am.
Selene.
Was here last week. Sat in the back over there. And Alyssa sat right here. Next to someone that's not here today. What was her name again?
Lissandra.
Okay, and Ashley was here. And Muhyiddin was here. Right. Yes.
Anna.
Sorry?
My name's Anna.
Anna.
Yes.
Oh, what's going on, Anna?
I wasn't able to make it last Sunday.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hi.
Hi. Hi. You're saying hi like you don't remember me. You remember me?
It's been a long time in the group.
Maybe like. See, like this, you probably saw me like this. Or maybe, get out of the room. No, just. See my face? Y'all remember me? No? Now you will. Inshallah. How are you? You okay? I like your pink bottle. Is that your pink bottle or is that mom's pink bottle? Is pink your favorite color? Even though you have a pink mask, pink shirt, pink bottle? What's your favorite color?
Black.
Black is your favorite color? Ah, nice. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Okay. Okay. All right. Last week, Alyssa and Zach, y'all are in the hot seat. Do you remember generally what we spoke about, Zach? Okay.
Kind of went over spiritual conditioning ourselves.
Okay.
And introductions. As well as kind of explaining the importance of Ramadan, the moon, the times to fast, etc.
Okay. So, we said Ramadan. Alyssa, can you fill in the blanks for us, please, Alyssa? Okay, so you can't remember this one or that one? Pressure, pressure, pressure.
I think it's
the seventh month. Zach, what do you think? Yeah. It's the ninth month. No, don't worry. Don't say, oh, God, we're not done yet. You still have another opportunity. Alyssa?
Islamic.
And the Islamic calendar is what month? Oh, okay. I see. I'm off. Now I'm on there. I'm in vision now. See, now I'm out of vision. Now I'm in. Now I'm out. Okay. You don't have to move the camera. I got you. Yes. Of the Islamic calendar. So is the Islamic calendar... is based off of what? Which is called what kind of calendar?
Lunar.
Lunar. Very good. So the lunar calendar is based off of the what, you said? The sun or the moon?
The moon.
The moon. Therefore, we determine the beginning of the month by the?
Sunset.
Oh. And she was here last week. I totally forgot. I'm so sorry. So we determine the beginning. She's like, we determine the beginning of the moon by the what?
Crescent.
By the crescent, which is basically the sunset. Because when the sun set, the moon is rising. So that's how we tell the beginning of the month. That's how we tell the beginning of the day. Right? Because actually, in the lunar calendar, the days start by what we call Maghrib, or basically the evening prayer. That's the fourth prayer of the day, roughly. Right? So you know we have five prayers, right? Right? So those five prayers that we're going to talk about, inshallah. Many of you may see the symbol of Islam, like when you see, what is this? What is this, guys? The cross. And then we will see the, I hope I did this right. I'm not doing it right. 1, 2, 6 points, right?
They see like two triangles overlapping.
There you go. Boom, boom. See, I got this. Boom. Right? And this is the Islamic symbol is what? This, right? Exactly. I don't either. This has no significance. Islamically speaking, it has no significance. This does because it just symbolizes that. That's it. Got it, Kayana? That's it. So when you see the moon, know that it marks the beginning of the day and the beginning of the month, because the month is made of days, right? So in Ramadan, as I mentioned, that they will determine the beginning of the month of Ramadan, which is the ninth month, by people going, you'll see in some mosques, people will go out and look at the moon. Like after the prayer that's coming up is the Maghrib prayer. It's the fourth prayer, right? So they'll go out and they'll look for the moon. Okay? And that's how they'll determine the beginning of Ramadan. The beginning of Ramadan. Okay? We also give a definition for fasting. How did we define it? we said it over and over. I actually kind of hypnotized y'all. I hypnotized you without the swinging thing. I don't know if that's permissible in Islam, maybe. I don't know. Right? What did I hypnotize you? What was the definition? Uh-huh. Very good. Voluntary deprivation for spiritual conditioning. Kyan, what do you think about that? Does that sound right to you?
No.
No. Why not? I'm listening. I'm just moving this thing, and it's. I'm listening. Voluntary deprivation for spiritual conditioning. Okay. Okay. What would you view fasting as? All right. All right, people fast to lose weight, intermittent fasting, right? When we're talking about fasting from the religious sense, is it that?
No.
That could be a
plus.
That could be a plus from that, but what is it exactly? Kyana, you come from a Christian family, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do they celebrate Christmas, your family?
Yes.
Okay. If you are at a Christian family gathering, like my family is Christian as well, okay? What is this fasting thing you do, Kyana? What is it? How would you define it to me, just in a couple words? It was for more of discipline, to show a level of control in things that were not good for you. Okay. So if they asked you about your fasting in Islam, why do you as a Muslim fast? To come closer to God. Okay. So when we talk about this definition, you're voluntarily depriving yourself, fasting from TV, fasting from Netflix, fasting from, well, some people may fast from Netflix and not fast from Hulu. It depends on what kind of person you are. And if you like the old school shows, you may not fast from Hulu. I mean, that's really what you should be fasting from, but even though you're not fasting, you understand my idea, right? Not like I'm that person or anything like that, but just saying, right? So you'll fast from something that you know that is good for you or that is bad for you. You're voluntarily depriving yourself. But as you said here, as you mentioned, sister, that it's not for God. It may be for some purpose of discipline. But in Islam, it's for spiritual conditioning. When we say spiritual, what word comes to mind when you say spiritual? Is it Chris?
Kevin.
Chris, what word comes to mind when you hear that? Huh?
Kevin.
No, I'm saying when you hear, I thought that was someone over here. When you say spiritual, what word comes to mind?
Spirit.
Spirit, okay. Zach?
I mean, the same thing, but when it comes to that, it's like, you're exactly what she said and what I said last time. It's your connection with God, with the higher power.
With the higher power. So when you think spiritual, you think of the spirit that portion that connects with the higher power, with God, right? So you're conditioning your spirit, your self, because you know that what? God, what? Has commanded you to do so, and God loves it. Because what's the word here? I'm going to play a little Wheel of Fortune. Is it Wheel of Fortune? This is easy. Come on, guys. Even though it's kind of tilted. Thank you. I know my handwriting wasn't that bad. I heard somebody say, what is that? No, I knew it wasn't that bad. Thank you, Chris. All right, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, no, I'm thinking this Blake, so maybe look at you being all nice. So, oh yeah, it's two. Boom, look at that, see? Sacrifice. You're sacrificing eating, drinking, and having relations with your partner from sunup to sundown for 30 days. That's Ramadan. You're voluntarily depriving yourself from what? Eating, drinking, and being with your partner, okay? For spiritual conditioning. To condition yourself to be a better Muslim, in other words. To condition yourself to be someone that Allah is pleased with because you're doing what He has commanded for you to do. And staying away from what He's prohibited, from what He's prohibited you from. So that's ultimately how I like to define fasting. Okay? These two parts. Very important. Okay? Very, very important. So when we talked about that last week, we roughly touched on, we're going to go over it real quick, because I think it's recorded so we'll be able to tune into it. We mentioned here the day, right? This is daytime, and this is nighttime. Okay? Oop. GHT. All right? So we talked about the daytime being here, sun up, 6 a.m., right? Right, guys? And then let's say sundown would be 6 p.m., right? Or guys and girls? Yes? Okay. When would we start the fast? Who knows? 6 a.m., right? 6 a.m. is when we would start the fast. My handwriting is just terrible. Start fast. Here. Right? Because that is when the sun, that is daybreak. Okay? So that's when you start your fast. Till the duration of what? Sundown. 6 p.m. That's when you, what? Break your fast. Exactly. That's when you break your fast. Right? Now, what marks the entrance of the time? The Fajr. There you go. The first light of the sunrise. Okay? Which we kind of talked about. There's the horizontal, and then there's the vertical light, and then there's the horizontal. Okay? In any case, when the time for Fajr prayer comes in is when you start fasting. If you have an app, there's one called the Adhan app. Muslim Pro Adhan is probably a little more reliable. Okay? You see that time that Fajr comes in, when it says Fajr, and then it shows a time, that's when you cannot eat after that time. Cannot eat, drink, or have relations, okay? We talked about this roughly. All right? You go all the way till sundown. And sundown on your app, whatever, it will show the prayers. And which prayer, who knows, which prayer is the prayer that when it comes in, you break your fast? Maghrib, very good. And these are the five prayers. What's the first one? Fajr, which means daybreak. And you have what? Dhuhr. It doesn't matter really how it's spelled, okay? Which is midday. So Dhuhr would be like around this time. Actually, let me write it here. Dhuhr. Then you have Asr, which would be roughly around this time. The Asr prayer, and then you have the Maghrib prayer here. This is the one we're talking about. The Maghrib prayer. Okay? And then you have Isha. Okay? So now we are in Asr time. The sun is about to come down in roughly about maybe an hour. Okay? When the sun comes down, that's when we enter this prayer. In the month of Ramadan, around this time, in a regular day, we would break our fast as soon as that prayer comes in. So say we're having a class in Ramadan right now. Let's say it's Ramadan, okay? Everyone with me? It's Ramadan? Just have, you have the Ramadan feeling right now? No? Come on, you're supposed to follow on. Thank you, thank you. Second time you've come through for me here and now. Okay? So say it's Ramadan right now, right? I start teaching, we're teaching, we're into it, we're teaching, y'all are into it, mashallah, and then all of a sudden the adhan goes off. Who's familiar with the adhan? Who knows the adhan, what the adhan is? The adhan, you probably heard it in movies where they say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The call to prayer. That's the adhan. When you hear that, that marks the time that the prayer has come in. When you hear that, that means you can break your fast. So that's when they call the adhan. Let's say it comes in at 6:02, right? The person, whoever's here, they usually have an appointed person to call the adhan. He gets on the microphone and calls the adhan. If you're here and we're teaching a class and they call the adhan, I'll stop and I'll say, go ahead and break your fast, guys, real quick. Drink some water, something, whatever. As long as you eat something or drink something, that's breaking your fast. Does everyone understand that? That's the time span of fasting. So when you talk to people that may not know, man, you got to fast for 30 days? They're thinking what? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many times should I go? 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. That's what they're thinking. But in actuality, guys, what is it? And girls, what is it? Where should I erase?
The bottom half,
exactly. That's it. This is the time you fast, 30 times. That's it. Does everyone understand me? All right. That's what we kind of talked about last week. Today, what we're going to talk about, and the last thing that we talked about last week, we mentioned the verse. We talked about the ultimate goal of fasting, maqsad al-siyam. And we mentioned the verse in the Quran. Who remembers the verse? You have to say the verse where it was. Yes. Very good. It's, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was for the ones before you. Perhaps you may be of the righteous. So you do this to try your best to become a what? Righteous person. As you mentioned, some people may fast because they want to lose weight. They want autophagy to take place. They want the good cells to eat away the bad cells, and therefore they'll lose fat. They'll become, immune to, my mind is. What's that? What's that in your blood? Fat cells? Huh? Insulin. Insulin resistant. Right. But when you fast, when you deprive yourself from eating or drinking, particularly eating, like a fast, there's something called your pituitary gland. It secretes something called the HGH. It's a human growth hormone. And that human growth hormone helps you, and they just even say, you're like a fountain of youth to look younger. And then also, when you do that, the bad cells from the bad things that you've eaten, things of that nature, are eaten up by the good cells that have been generated because you've been fasting, right? And you haven't had any insulin, which is the base of glucose, which causes fat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So that's one good reason. But ultimately, it's for God, okay? And you do that to come closer to God. And that's what we mean by righteous. That's what we meant by righteous, okay? Does anyone have any questions regarding that? Any questions? No questions? Yep. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you it happens. This is good, man. Good question. And I think one of the three attendants that were here last week will give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. Doesn't mean you have to be right. I mean, this, huh? Good, okay. Kind of answers this question.
But there's controversial because people don't know if to see the physical moon or to see the time change from the point at which
See how Muslims work together? Did you see that? You witnessed that, right, Ken? You saw that, right? Did you see the teamwork? That's great. It makes me shed a tear inside. Right? So here, we're talking about different. So there's something called hadith. It's basically tradition where the Prophet Muhammad, things that he said, did, and approved of, right? It's recorded. And there's chains of narrations. We'll talk about it after Ramadan. We'll go into it, inshallah, God willing. But there's one thing that he said regarding Ramadan. He said, fast when you see it, and break your fast when you see it. Now, we're about to get a little academic and scholarly here, okay? As I did, just dip in and then dip right out. Now, some scholars said, scholars, not just Mohammed, you know, that hasn't learned the religion. No, it's scholars, people that have dedicated their life to it. The word see here. Who are you to say that it's with your eyes? What about a microscope? Because with a microscope and calculations, I'll be able to tell when Ramadan is this year and what? Next year. I can tell the birth of the moon by using calculative methods. Some will say, no, you have to go outside and see the naked moon by itself with your eyes. Because that's what the Prophet did, that's what some scholars did, and that's what, you understand? So that's the nature of the, I don't want to say argument, you'll find Muslims say argument, and I'll tell you why they say argument, but that's the nature of the scholarly discourse and scholarly dialogue. But people that aren't scholars nowadays will say, no, what are you doing? You fasted tomorrow? It's supposed to be the day after tomorrow. Why is it the day after tomorrow? Because we didn't see it today. Bro, I saw it 364 days ago. What are you talking about? That's where the difference can lie. But we're all Muslims. We all love each other. If your friend that called you to Islam or told you, your husband or wife, they started that day, it's fine. You started the other time with calculation, totally fine. You're not a disbeliever. You're not a sinner, right? You're not a Benedict Arnold or anything like that, all right? But you are going to see it. You know why? You know why you're going to see it? Ask me why. Just ask me why. Good question. It is because we're human. That's why. We're never going to totally agree. When we have that type of thinking, we become idealistic. You understand? Yep. The only thing that we should agree on is that God is one, doesn't have a son, doesn't have a daughter, is not like his creation. That's very important. Okay? Did I answer your question? Did they answer your question? Great. All right, so what we're going to talk about today. Did y'all get this?
Yeah. Right. One more question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So you said we pause, like, people really strict, like, one the Adhan hits, you have to eat right then and there.
Say again, one what?
One like, Maghrib hits.
Yeah, okay.
And your fast ends.
Yep.
You have to eat, like, at that time.
What do you mean, have to?
Like, it's 6:02, we need to eat something at
6:02. No.
Because you don't want to miss it.
No. If you eat at 6:07, you're not a sinner. Not at all. It's preferable to, and the reason why they mention this preferability is for mercy. To break your fast. But if you're at work, and where do you work? Are you working right now?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. Say you're teaching at a public school, and then iftar comes in. That's what they call break it. Iftar comes in. And you're in the middle of your class. I mean, you're like, right. What do you teach? Okay, you're teaching 10th grade. Okay, you're teaching present simple verb. That's not 10th grade. No, it's like, you're teaching present simple, present continuous. And you're like, in present continuous, you have to write ing, and then it goes off. And then everybody's like, whoa, you're an awesome teacher. You don't stop and say, okay, everyone, hold on. I got to break my fast. Right? You can wait to break your fast after class is over. It's preferable you maybe have an Ozarka before you start class or whatever. And then just when you see the times come in, you just come in, drink your water. Fast is broken. That's it. Answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. All right. What we're going to talk about today is those things that break your fast. Those things that break your fast. What is constituted to breaking your fast? And what types of people that, if you are from those types of people, what options do you have? Okay? What options do you have? One second here. Okay. So yeah, reason, break, fast, makeup. Okay. So here. Okay, this is the first type. There are roughly four types here, okay? Roughly four types of people, well, say five, but four in particular. Now, you will find generally, before we start on this, just want to give you all some of the logic behind it. And understanding this logic will help you in understanding why there is a slight difference. Just be patient with me, inshallah. Let me explain. Allah, one of his names is Ar-Rahman. Who knows the name Ar-Rahman? The most merciful. If you ever say it here, people before they recite, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Those are two names of God. Abdul Rahman, I don't know if you ever anyone's name Abdul Rahman. Famous, there's a famous people. Rahman, I can't remember. But anyway, one of his names is the merciful. So from his mercy is that if you are sick, or if you are in a state of being tired universally, that it's universal amongst humans, that in this state, you most likely will be tired or anguished. There are some concessions. There are some liberties that you may be given, for example, which we'll cover here. Someone traveling. It's allowed for you in Islam to shorten your prayers. It's allowed for you in Islam to join your prayers if you're a traveler. All right, particularly to shorten your prayers, but joining you may find there may be some difference. But in any case, a traveler, because why do you think God would allow that to happen for a traveler? Anyone? Difficult. It could be tiring. Have any of you ever been exhausted? Not tired, but like exhausted from traveling? Right, exactly. So God allows you to just shorten your prayers. The prayers that are four units, two. Also, fasting, as we'll see. So in the spirit of this, God takes that into consideration when allowing these rulings. So the first one is someone that is, I mean, they say vacation. For the females, if this happens and this takes place, you know, the menstrual period, that it's allowed for her to break, she must break her fast. She must break her fast, okay? So if the third of Ramadan comes in, and then by the permission of Allah, that happens. You cannot fast on that day until it is over. The next day, you can go ahead and fast. Say again? When you're outside of the cycle, the end of the cycle, purity, to where you're able to pray, okay? That's when you go back and you would fast. So, you know, and women, it differs from maybe 8-9 days to some 15 days, right? When that time is over, you must break your fast. Now, making up those days is a must. You know, these days are going to be outside of Ramadan. You can make these days up for the rest of the year up to the next Ramadan. So say it's 5 days, say it's 8 days, whatever the case may be. You make those days up in the rest of the days after Ramadan. Rest of those months, you can make it up any day. So you can make it up one day in this month, and then 3 months later, you can make up the second day that you missed, and it was 5 days you missed, for example, all right? This is very important, okay? Expiation, there's no expiation. We're going to explain what expiation is, inshallah ta'ala, okay? Does anyone have any questions on that? Okay, this is very important to understand these rulings, because this happens to all of us human beings. Some it happens, you know, some will be for females, particularly in this one, but generally it happens to all of us, inshallah, the other characteristics. So the second one is the traveler. So the traveler, okay? That person, or we say the traveler, or the person that has an illness that is, let's say, curable or hopes of being cured. Oh my goodness. Okay. Now this person, they are allowed to break their fast. What do you think I mean by allowed, can? Say it again. They can choose whether you want to break your fast or not. Give me an example of an illness in this category. Flu. Okay? The flu, you can fast if you want, but it may not be that advisable to do so. Particularly the flu I'm talking about. Right? Because the flu even of itself is different levels. You may just have, you know, a lot of sneezing, or maybe, what is it, coughing, right? But there may be a level where you cannot literally get out of bed and you need fluids, right? So in that case, it may not be advisable for you to fast, right? What's another sickness? A headache. Okay? What about a migraine headache? That may be slightly different. Even scholars differ on that, right? Okay? What about COVID? We're trying to make scholars here at Valley Ranch tonight.
I feel like you could break your fast.
Huh?
I feel like you could break your fast.
Why do you feel like you can break your fast? Why is that? Exactly. In this case,
I would just go along the side, like, it would have to be person to person.
Right.
Some person's going to be affected more severely than another, so that would have to be
subjective. Exactly. Be subjective. Right? Because I know some people that had COVID. I had COVID myself. I didn't. The way I found out, I tested negative every time, but when I went to take my mother to the hospital, they told her she was positive, and I told them I couldn't smell or taste. And they're like, oh yeah, don't worry, you have COVID. It's okay. They were consoling me by telling me I had COVID. It was weird. I didn't know how to react. It was so like, no, don't worry, you have COVID. It's okay, you have COVID. Don't think about it. Okay. But I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, I was fine. I could get up. I could move. I could do a lot of things. So you're allowed to, okay? Now here, what do you think? Do you have to make up your fast, guys?
Yes,
you must make up your fast here. Now remember, what do we mean by must? That you must make it up when?
Anytime.
Anytime? And see, now he's getting into branching into. I was just about to bring that issue.
Really?
Oh yeah, scholars of Islamic law talked about every particular issue. When you go to these voluminous books of Islamic law, that's the college I studied in. It's called Sharia, Islamic law. These are the things we talk about. What if someone is of the first category? This one. 8 a.m., they wake up, it's still there, right? This is their 14th day. Usually, they're used to 15 days. It's the 14th day. 8 a.m., they wake up. It's there. 12 p.m., there are signs that it's gone. They've made sure, signs that it's gone. What do they do?
They begin fasting, but also they don't necessarily have to make up that time, the hours in which it might have occurred before, because they're unknowledgeable exactly when.
Good observation, but they would ultimately have to make that day up. Right, so like at 12 p.m., they say, okay, the fasting is coming in, the fast has come in, I got to fast now from 12 p.m., or the thing's gone, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. But from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., they were in this state.
Wait, you're saying that you would start fasting midday?
If you wanted, some scholars would advise you to do that.
But you would have to still make up that day.
You still have to make it up. But still, some scholars would advise to do that because what they call, it's kind of, I'd say it like this, but it's like if the shoe fits, wear it, right? So if you have that characteristic of a person that fasting is obligatory upon, you need to fulfill that characteristic. Even though it won't be counted, it's from the aspect of etiquette and adab and things of that nature to complete it. Now, if you don't do it, are you a sinner? This is where some of them would have difference. And I don't want to get too much into that. But just to understand that these are the kinds of issues that they talked about. So if you were sick and you were cured in the middle of the day, you felt great, but you had soup and stuff in the beginning of the day, and you wanted to complete that fast, it's fine, but you still have to make it up, right? Because it's completing 30 days. You have not completed 30 days. You understand? You understand? See, now it's getting real. Okay, so there's a key word you said, realize. And then also, let's just remember this. Did you complete 30 days or not? Whether it was the beginning of the menstruation, whether it was a completion of 30 days or 29 days and... You understand? Once you remember that, any particular issue, the shoe fits where. That's why I said... And that's an easy way to understand it when going through this process in Islamic law. Anyway, expiation? No expiation. Traveling, you're allowed to break your fast. Okay? Any questions after that?
I knew
someone was going to come with it. I was waiting. That's all. I was just sitting there waiting. I was like, traveling. Okay, let's move on. That's what she's here for. Right. The definition of traveling, you will find that in general, traveling is what is considered when someone leaves a city or a locality. And the sign of leaving a city or a locality is the absence of civilization. And civilization could be understood as buildings, restaurants, homes, neighborhoods, right? How many of you have traveled to Houston? From here? All the time. Okay. So, when you travel to Houston, when you leave to go, what's that highway? 75? It turns into 45, right? Oh, yeah, you're from Houston. Right? 45. Before you get to Ennis, it's just greenery, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. That's you're a traveler now. You're considered a traveler. You understand? When you get to a point to where you're hoping to see a gas station, right? And your kids are like, "Well, I gotta go to the bathroom." When it's one of those, "I gotta go to the bathroom," and there's nowhere to go, you're probably traveling. But in general, the absence of civilization is considered traveling. Civilization being defined as buildings, restaurants, you know, your Popeyes, your academies. We see stores. You're happy to see stores because you know there's a gas station. That is, you can travel. Yes, ma'am?
Anything for prayer?
Yes, very good. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. Exactly. Now, you get to the city that you want to arrive at, right? You get to Houston. You get to wherever. Are you considered a traveler? Does everyone understand my question? Once you arrive. So is it like, okay, I can break my fast on my way there, but once I get there, I got to fast again? I need to draw a diagram. I know what you're trying to say.
While you're traveling, you don't have anything around you. If you need to eat, it's there for you, whatever you have in your car.
Uh-huh.
If you get to civilization, it's available to you, so you should be morally, you know.
I got you. Remember when we mentioned that earlier? That's why I gave you that prelude. I said, look, God, mercy, and remember I said traveling, you wouldn't say tired, you would say what? Fatigue. That's why I mentioned it earlier. When scholars give a ruling, they look at the effective characteristic behind it. You understand? So that characteristic is generally a universal one, which is fatigue. I want you to understand the logic behind it. To understand it, it gives you more comfort when you see the ruling, right? Okay, so some people say, okay, I'm traveling on a plane, first class, laid out, caviar. I'm chilling. I'm actually, you know. So in that case, can they fast? That's why you're allowed. That's why you're generally allowed to fast. All right? So you can break your fast or you can fast. Either way is fine. You understand? Whoa, good question. No. Running errands and stuff, yeah. Well, that's not fatigue, though.
What do you define that?
Like drowsiness. Like you said you're about to sleep?
Yeah, like I just got super drowsy and tired.
Yeah, that's not fatigue, though.
What do you consider
fatigue? Fatigue is like when you just weak, yeah, you're weak and you're just exhausted. Like you really don't want to do anything to where you can't even, as soon as you touch down in Houston to the hotel, you can't even get up to go down to the front desk to ask for a pillow. You're that exhausted.
Okay, I get the difference.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, so that's generally what's considered here. But yeah, so traveling, you're allowed to fast. We understood the definition of travel, okay? But to answer the question, once you get to your destination, yes, you are considered a traveler. So once I travel from Dallas to Houston, as soon as I get out and I see trees and owls and lions, tigers and bears or whatever, right? I can break my fast if I wish to, right? If I'm at my house leaving to Houston, from my house, after Fajr, I can break my fast. I can eat because I'm traveling anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Did everyone get that point? So if you're in Dallas right now, say Dallas, and you're going to Houston, you know tomorrow you're going to Houston. You packed up, everything's here. Okay, so it's Ramadan, right? So you get in your car, you can eat because you're traveling to Houston. Does everyone understand that? You're considered technically a traveler, right? When you get to Houston, you are a traveler. You can shorten your prayers and you can eat if you wish to do so. If you don't, you fast from when you left your house, you're fasting. You get to Houston, fasting. Now, if you're staying there, you'll find people say for more than 3 days, then you would. After the 3 days, you're considered a resident. Everyone understand that? All right. Any questions on this? This can get kind of extensive, but just take the general rule. If you're traveling, you're allowed to break your fast. Now, you may want to think about that the night of, because if you break your fast that day, you have to what? Make it up. So if you feel good that night, then go ahead and fast the next day. Does everyone understand that? Okay. The next category. Anyone have any questions regarding this? The next category is the pregnant woman that is nursing. I knew it. I was waiting.
Pregnant and nursing.
Uh-huh. Could be pregnant or nursing. So if the woman is pregnant, she is allowed to break her fast. And she must make it up, the same as before. There's no expiation. If the woman is nursing, she is allowed to break her fast. Now, there may be a caveat. And the reason I'm telling you these caveats is just for you to know, because I'm not going to be the only person you're probably going to talk to. You may talk to some other women during Ramadan that you may be hanging out with, and they may say, no, you can't break your fast. The main characteristic of you being allowed to break your fast or not is how you feel. If you feel that it is a harm for you to fast, then you're allowed to break your fast. If you feel for the health or well-being of your child because you're nursing, you're allowed to break your fast. All right? So you have the choice, okay, to do so. Now, you will find some people that say, no, you have to fast, or you break your fast and you have to do expiation. And we're going to cover expiation. Basically, expiation is feeding a poor person per day missed. The amount that should be given to the poor person is basically a meal. A meal in our day, in our times, can roughly say about $8 to $10 meal. Where'd you get this dollar? Ask me. Why would you ask me, Kevin? Where'd you get this dollar amount? Good question. The scholars throughout text of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, don't want to go too much into it, but they would say that the expiation for that is a what they call a mud, and it's a handful of rice or wheat. Okay? That is what is called a mud. Now, giving them this amount, does it have to be rice or wheat? Or could it be the staple of that era? Some scholars say the staple of that era, or that which fulfills the need. This is food. Panda Express is food. Right? So if you want to make that day up, you can go buy Panda Express. You see a guy that's poor under the bridge, what have you, you go and give him that meal, you fulfilled your duty. Does everyone understand that? Or, as one companion, Anas, a young individual that was young, he lived in the house of the Prophet when he was young and he grew up. He was one of the last of the disciples to die. He made up his way of feeding people by inviting all of them to his home and having a feast and feeding them. So he fulfilled all of it in one time, one shot. Does everybody understand that? Yeah, that's where if we say there's an expiation for them, or that they feed a poor person per day missed. Because primarily, feeding a poor person per day missed, or per day that you broke your, that per day that you ate and didn't fast, is for this category. The elderly, or those that have a chronic, this is hard to write like this, chronic illness. For this category, they cannot fast. Okay? And they do not have to make it up. Okay? And yes. Okay? So if you have a relative that is fairly old, they have to have their glucose, they're on dialysis, right? They can go and buy a meal for someone every single day. Okay? Sorry? One meal per day missed, right? Feeding one person per day missed. It's not, I don't want to say one meal per day missed. I want to say one person per day, feeding one person per day missed. Because somebody may say, I get a happy meal and feed five people. No, it doesn't work like that. No, it don't work like that, Chief. You know what I'm saying? I'll go by. Anyway, no. Okay? So they're not allowed to. Why do you think this ruling is there for them? There you go. There you go. I want you to understand the wisdom behind this. Because everything, listen closely, guys, every ruling in Islam is founded, is couched in wisdom and love and mercy from Allah. This can get dry, I know. Believe me, I was in the College of Law. And it gets kind of dry. But you got to know this stuff, right? Because one day you're going to get what? One day you're going to what? For some of us, this may happen, right? In the month of Ramadan. And if you don't know, right? So it's very important to just understand the gist of this and get the knowledge of that. Does anyone have any questions so far? What you will find, yes, sir.
Why for like you're mentioning, obviously I don't have to experience, so it's like a weird question for me to ask, I guess, but if you feel that it's you're able to fast, mm-hmm. that's a require that you can't, because then I feel like, you know, that's a challenge for the woman to have to make that up later.
Very good question. Very good question. And that's what I was going to talk. I was just about to mention here, because what happens every single year, I'll find the average congregant middle age, 40s, 50s, or, you know, between their 30s and 50s, right? 30s and 50s, right, roughly. And they'll say, you know what? My mom wants to fast. She wants to fast, right? You know, she's elderly. The doctors told her that she shouldn't, but she wants to, right? In that case, this is where we have to look back at the name. One of the names of Allah is Al-Alim. And He's the all-knowledgeable. One thing to remember is that, as I mentioned, all these rulings are couched and founded in love and mercy for all of us. But when He gives these rulings are based on the predominant characteristic of the human being. Okay? Not every single person will have the same, just as we mentioned earlier, traveling, this one may have caviar, this one may have, you know, it may be different. So when it comes to this situation and this situation, the generic characteristic of this person is that most likely they cannot fast for 16 hours. I'm talking dry fast. Remember, no eating and no drinking, right? The generic character, you understand what I mean by generic characteristic? Like the average elderly person, right? Yes, there will be some elderly people that are healthier than us, right? And they can. Yes, there will be some women, I mean, subhanAllah, you know, it's been years that they've faced this and they have their routine and they know physically they're able to, right? But still, in this situation, that is just something that Allah has legislated. And there's this one particularly, and these two, that they must make it up, even though they may have the energy and things that nature to do. Now, making it up doesn't necessitate that it would be more difficult to make it up. Now, you probably mentioned because of the spirit of Ramadan and everyone's doing it. And no, you're right. That's a very, very valid point. But in regards to this, yeah, they must make it up. They must break their fast in that regard. And God knows best. Any other question? No questions so far? Okay. Does everyone understand this? Yes? Okay. So, the expiation. So, the only one that has to feed a poor person per day missed is the elderly person that they cannot fast. Okay? So, any person that has eaten, what did we say last 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago? That was 2 weeks ago we were here? A week ago, okay. The person forgot and ate or drank or was with their partner in the middle of the day in Ramadan. They forgot. What do they do? They continue the fast. Does that fall in the same category as the person that we were talking about earlier? Mary, right? Mary? Mary is your name? Maria? She gave me the mad look, like, how could you?
My name is Selene.
Selene? Selene. When I said you sat back there, you're like, yes, yes, you sat up here. Yeah. That's okay. Selene, does that fall into the same category? Reiterate, I'll just remember we were talking about the person that their menses may come in the beginning, in the middle of the day, or may leave in the middle of the day, and it may be advisable to complete their fast even though they have to make it up. The fact is that they have to make it up, right? So what if you were fasting from 6 a.m. to 12:05? Because at 12:05, you're hanging out with your friends and they're eating and drinking water or whatever, permissible stuff, right? And then you remember, you're like just laughing, hey, and you just go along with them. But then you leave at 12:27 and you're in your car, you're like, oh my God, oh my Allah, right? I'm supposed to be fasting. What do you do? Continue your fast. But the real question is, what's the real question, Zach?
Did he make that day up?
I think no.
You think no?
I think
you think we should what? Make it up. Why? But how did that? I forgot, man. Chill out.
But if you're righteous and you want to be, you know, then you would do it.
Then you would do what? Make it up?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. Huh? Wait. Mercy? I was like, something you would say to your boss, when's the mercy going to kick in, man? I mean, like, come on. I like that. That's like hashtag. Doesn't the mercy kick in? MercyKickIn.com. No, What do you mean? Very good. Y'all are right. You do not have to make that day up. There's a tradition where the prophet mentioned this. He said, whoever ate or drank and they forgot when they did it, then they should complete their fasting, for verily Allah has fed them and given them drink. So as soon as you remember, you complete your fasting, and that was just alhamdulillah, Allah chose to feed you at that time, right? You don't have to make that day up. And part of it goes back to what you were saying. The mercy is kicking in right there, you know what I'm saying? And the mercy, again, from the fact that you forgot. And generally, in Islam, there are numerous things that one will practice that, or one may be negligent, not negligent, one may forget, and they're not held accountable for that. Forgetfulness. You wake up in the morning, especially these new Muslims, right? You wake up in the morning, you know, you're in the course of your day, right? You wake up, you're going to teach English, you wake up, you have your whatever you eat, you know. And you're eating, chilling, teaching English class. Beowulf, teaching Beowulf and Shakespeare, yeah. 12 o'clock rolls around, you're like, oh, okay, I got to go pray the midday prayer, right? You come to Valley Ranch Islamic Center, and then you say, I didn't pray Fajr. What do you do? But are you a sinner because you forgot Fajr? There you go. Right? But you still would make that up. So when it comes to this particular case, you don't have to make this one up, but you're not a sinner for your forgetfulness. But there are some things where you would have to make up and some things where you don't. And when you don't, this has been mentioned particularly by the prophet that you don't. I understand if we think based on what we talked about, the menses and things of that nature, then you would make it up. But in this particular case, if you forgot, you do not. Okay? Does anyone have any other questions? No questions whatsoever? What do you mean? Oh, before that. The intention of your fast. This is very important. When should one have their intention to fast? The night before. And they're going to be mad here at Valley Ranch. I'm going to mess up these markers. All right. Day. Night. 6 a.m. 6 p.m. Kiana, when do you break your fast? 6 p.m. When do you start your fast? Right here? Is that when you start your fast here, right? Peer pressure. I always like to test my students. You point at the wrong place and you just do this, psychologically, like. Right? You were right. 6 a.m. when you start your fast, okay? What was I going to say? Oh, your intention. You should have your intention before you start your fast. So particularly, some scholars say you should have your intention in the night time, the night before. Now, the night, yashmal kul, it covers all of this, right? So the Prophet said, whoever does not spend the night with their intention for fasting the next day, then there is no fast for him or her. So having that intention to fast the night before is important. You'll find some that say, just have your intention to fast the whole month. The last night of the month before Ramadan, just have the intention to fast what? All 30. Intention. Intention is everything. I mean, Jim Carrey said intention is everything, right? Y'all know Jim Carrey? Y'all know Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
I mean, like, not like it really means anything, but, you know, just... Intention in Islam is everything, though. Seriously. Intention in Islam is everything. So, the intention is very important. I wanted to touch on that point briefly. So, what was your question, Anna? Anna?
And then Johor comes in, or do you make up Fajr right when you wake up, say after sunrise, or do you wait till Johor comes in, first pray Johor, and then do Fajr once the proper time?
Allah said in the Quran, verily prayers were given at prescribed times. Okay. Which means that when one wants to offer a prayer that they have forgotten, they should offer that prayer immediately before any other prayer. In other words, the prayer should be offered sequentially at all costs. Got it? Got it, Selena? Selene. Yes? No. You wake up at 12:13 p.m. Dhuhr, the second prayer, has come in at 11:27. I'm just giving you weird times just for you to just visualize. Dhuhr is coming at 11:27 a.m. You wake up at 12:13. Which prayers have you not offered? The first prayer, Fajr, and the second prayer, Dhuhr. Which time frame are you still within? You're still within the, y'all with me?
Yeah.
Let me do this one again for y'all. Y'all want the circle thing? Yes, yes, okay. All right, I'll do it. So 6 p.m., right? 6 a.m. All right. When is Fajr? 6 a.m., right? Fajr time comes in here. It usually comes when the sun is risen till when it's fully risen. There's a time frame for Fajr, particularly. Then you have the sun has risen to its zenith, when it's in the top of the sky. Not the top of the sky, but it's written as zenith, its highest point, right? Dhuhr comes in, and we'll cover this in prayer. Dhuhr comes in when the sun declines from its zenith roughly around 8 to 10 minutes. That's when the Dhuhr prayer comes in. So let's say right here, Dhuhr prayer. Midday, they call it midday, okay? Dhuhr will extend all the way till Asr prayer. Asr prayer. So let's say Asr is at 4:27. Dhuhr is at 11 what, guys? I want to. 11:23. It's not really, I'm just making it up. All right? Okay. Maghrib comes in at 6 p.m., right, guys? Maghrib, right? Maghrib is 6 p.m. Now, you woke up at 12:13. You woke up at 12:13. So then, what do you do? Kiana's going to answer. She's going to answer. She knows. She's sitting there just waiting for us to finish. Okay? She's just waiting for us to, because she already knows.
I don't know. I'm going to say
it's a good question, huh?
Maybe. Why do you pray Fajr first, though?
Because you have sequences everything.
Yeah. Whoa, that's another hashtag right there, man. Did y'all get that? That's the answer.
No, I wasn't even.
So sequences.
Were you exhausted or were you tired?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. So you would wake up, and it's still time for Zohar. Because Zohar.
Wait, let's take it slow. It's still time for Zohar. Because remember, every prayer is a time span. That time span has passed you by. You were just sleeping. So when you woke up, Fajr time has already passed. You're in the Dhuhr time zone now.
Yeah.
Right? But he said sequence is everything. What do you think he meant by sequence is everything? Sequence is everything in regards, yeah, in regards to the prayers that you make. So you wake up. You wake up at 12:30. You wake up at
12:30.
Very good observation. Yeah. Why do you put priority to it? Because no, you're right. You're right. It's a good. No, that's a good observation. Why are you putting priority to a prayer that is passed when the time right now is your priority for the Lord? Right. Very good. Very good. This good observation. She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. But the thing is, the time has passed you by. And it's like you owe Allah.
And it's not time for the next prayer yet, so you still have time to make.
What if you only had time?
No. I want to make sure we all got this. You bring it to work. Don't do that.
Hold on.
See, you're going to make Selena mad. You're going to make her real mad. And I'm going to see her like, it ain't Ramadan. You know, we ain't fasting, so, you know. No. You got it? This has passed you by. You owe Allah this. You have to fulfill what you owe. Here, you're still in a good time. Good time, right? So that's, you got to make this what you owe, and then, so you wake up at 12:13, make your wudu, it's 12:15. You offer two rakats fajr. Your finish is 12:28. You offer two rakats dhuhr. Asr doesn't come in yet, so you're fine. Somebody else had a question or something. Anna.
It's like, what if you don't have time? Let's say you wake up and...
What if the aliens come and it's Area 51? What are we going to say?
I'm just saying, like, what if you don't have time? Which takes priority then?
It would still be the sequence. You would still do Fajr first.
So you make up Fajr, but then you end up being late for dinner, and then you're perpetually... No, until you find time.
This is everything that y'all are mentioning is literally in books of Islamic law. The scenario is, what if you wake up, basically what you're asking is, you wake up at 4, for what? For what?
28.
No? That's not her question. Huh? 425. You owe this. You owe this prayer. Right? So what do you do?
So you make up that one. You make up the second?
Dhuhr.
Uh-huh. So you make up that one, and then you make up that one, and then you go ahead and get ready for a
right, but what she's asking is, okay, let me make it more specific for you. You wake up at that time, Selena. What do you do? You do the same thing? Okay, but if you wake up and you make fajr, this is going to leave you. Yes. By the time you're done with fajr, it's going to be past 4:27.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't make it up on time, but just like how you were saying beforehand, with the
midday, yeah.
Okay, midday. So just as you were saying with the 12:13 time,
So you just make up Fajr, and then when you get into Asr, you make up Dhuhr and Asr.
You don't have to make up Asr.
Well, not make up Asr yet. You make up Dhuhr, and then you pray Asr.
Yes.
Right. Some would say that. Some would say no. Make the Dhuhr, because you still would be fulfilling it in its time, and you'd only be owing Allah one prayer, basically. If you do what you mentioned, you would owe Allah two prayers.
You
got it? Nothing's wrong with either. Nothing's wrong with either. I'm just saying.
Why would it become an argument? Like, just make it up, doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But the reason I'm saying that is for y'all to understand the discourse of, like, when scholars would speak, because they'll say, okay, if I owed a lot of prayer, let me finish what I owe first and then fulfill.
Oh,
okay. You understand? Just mercy. That's good logic. That is good logic.
In this case, you can, if you have that much amount of time, I will say pray Asr, and then after you finish praying Asr, then you go and pray Fajr and Dhuhr, right? No?
I understand your logic. Some may view that logic, but the best logic is you fulfill them in their sequence, regardless of time. Asr is already in.
Or, no, the other ones are, oh gosh.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was trying to tell you. It's fine. Either way, it's fine. Kiana's going to get mad. She's going to slash my tires outside. I'm going to be in big trouble. If you wake up at 6 p.m. and the whole time, you wake up at 6 p.m., pray Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, then Maghrib. By that time, it'll be 6:40. Fine.
Okay,
oh, no. She started this whole thing, too, by the way.
What if, okay, say another case is sinful and you skip prayer. You skip praying for a day.
For a day.
At that point, do you make them up, like you just pair your prayer, you pair your prayer with the next day, like two fajrs, two dhuhrs, or does it matter?
Wow, that is creative. Man.
Or do you just, like,
woo.
Do
wow.
At the same time,
this is when we cover prayer. This is when we cover prayer. What time does Maghrib come in, by the way? Okay, we're going to conclude on this.